Hello, my name is Father Boniface. I'm a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent Archabbey in La Trobe, Pennsylvania, and I'm grateful for this opportunity to talk with Bishop Kurt Burnett, the Bishop of the Ruthenian Eparchy of Passaic. Bishop Burnett, thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Now and forever. Amen. Bishop Kurt, in the midst of lots of challenges in the church, there are also a lot of good things happening in the church. And I know in your eparchy, you're hosting a young adult conference this summer, and initiated by the young adults. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, as you may know, about 2 years ago, I believe the American Catholic Church had a convocation in Orlando, Florida, which we were invited to bring leadership from our diocese, as many people as we chose. Nobody really knew what was going to happen, except as Cardinal Dolan said, we had one 100 years ago, it seemed like it was time to have another one. So this convocation turned out to be a pretty wonderful event. There were speakers and workshops on every conceivable aspect of the gospel in today's society. And the people from my eparchy met every evening to discuss what we had seen and heard that day. And one thing that came out of it was that both clergy and lay people said that we were not taking care of our young adults. We had activities for youth up to age 18 and didn't really have anything for young adults. So they took the bull by the horns, and they've been working on creating a social network community online, which is how people are interacting nowadays. So using the latest tools there. And I guess that's been pretty successful. I'm sort of giving secondhand knowledge because I don't entirely understand it myself. And then they also decided to have this youth convocation, which they've been organizing. And it's going to take place in Manhattan, New York. At the location will be our parish there on 15th Street. We have two parishes in the city, the central city of New York, one on 82nd and one on 15th. And they've made arrangements to get a discounted rate at a local hotel. They have speakers coming, prayer services, the Divine Liturgy on Sunday morning. It's August 1st through the 4th, Thursday through Sunday. So I'm really looking forward to that.
And Bishop Kurt, if I can just affirm you and uphold your willingness to listen, your humility to say, you know better than I do how to reach out. And also, I know that you're not just a passive observer, but you've been an active promoter of all of this.
Well, thank you. It seems passive to me. I found when the Holy Spirit shows up, the best thing you can do is just don't quench the Spirit.
Well, it's true. But I know the young people really feel supported by you, and they know that you're enthusiastic about what's taking place, and I know that makes a huge difference.
I know Bishop Milan Locke is also going to come talk about vocations, and the new Archbishop of Philadelphia, Boris Gudziak, asked me if he can come visit also, so we're hoping to work him into the program.
Fantastic. I know the topic of the program is theosis, which is a particularly Eastern word, I think, and a wonderful concept. Can you share a little bit with us what that means?
I think it's an elaboration on the idea from the Church Fathers that said God became man so that men might become gods. And we sometimes use the verb it's an abstract noun, divinization, to become divinized. So it's in many ways returning to our original created nature, that we were originally made in the image and likeness of God. And as we say in our funeral liturgy, that the likeness in me was destroyed, it says, restore my original likeness. So becoming godlike is to return to God's original plan for us. We don't replace God, of course. That's the mistake Adam and Eve made.
Mm.
But to be like God is the way he intended for us in the beginning. And the plan that they came up with for this particular event was to imitate the event around the transfiguration of Jesus. There's events, and if you read the gospel, that happened before the transfiguration, namely that Jesus is identified as the Messiah at Caesarea Philippi. He also begins predicting his earthly passion and death and resurrection at the same time. He then goes to this mountain where it says he took three of his closest friends up, where Moses and Elijah, who represent the law and the prophets, appeared with him, and God the Father spoke. And it says that he changed form. Actually, in Greek, the word is metamorphosis for transfiguration. Mm. And light poured out of his body, and his clothes were whiter than any bleacher could get them.
Mm.
So there's the transfiguration. And then, of course, they come down off the mountain, and you probably recall from the scriptures, the first thing that they see when they come down off the mountain is a fight. That disorder has broken out down there because a man with a son with problems has asked the disciples for help, and they were unable to help him. And so kind of a fight has broken out, and Jesus walks up and says, "What's going on?" So the three parts there are the preparing for the transfiguration itself, and then coming back down on the mountain, going out into the world, and bringing the message with you and bringing Jesus Christ with you.
And that really touches the dimensions of our Christian life. There's nothing abstract about that. And that was a theme that they came up with on their own.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, highlighting how much, what a gift there is in our young people, their own zeal and their ideas, and just when given an opportunity to put that into action.
Well, we have so many jewels in our treasure chest, you know, from the scriptures, from the church fathers, from the liturgy. Sometimes just convincing people you already have a treasure chest in your house, if you'd open the lid and look inside, you'll be dazzled by what you find there.
And I think it's true in our churches as well. The treasure of the gifts among the lay faithful is something wonderful and something that you're really opening up in the Eparchy of Passaic. You're giving us an example of a humble shepherd who really nourishes and loves his flock.
My crown's not going to fit anymore if you give me a swell head.
Do you see any other signs of hope like this in your ministry?
I would say when I travel around, I'm often in awe of the things that are happening in parishes around the Eparchy. Just the life of the parish, even, you know, when you see how the people know each other and take care of each other, and how the priest is an important part of the their lives, the joys and the progress in life, and then also the sorrows, that the priest is there with them. He knows his people. It's one of the advantages of small parishes, you know.
Say a little bit more about that. You do have small parishes in some of the Eastern Catholic churches.
Many of them are. We have a few that we would be large by our standards, but most of them everyone knows everybody else. And I always feel like that's really what we're called to as Christians, you know, that to live in those communities and to know each other. I always quote St. Basil, although he didn't really say this. It's an interpretation of how he put his rule together, but he believed the law of charity was the most important thing in the Christian life, and you can't practice charity if you don't have anyone around to irritate you. So that's why he thought monks should live in community instead of being hermits. He investigated all the, you know, monasticism was a new experiment in his time, and he spent his time before he started a monastery investigating all these different experiments. It was kind of like California in the 1960s, I think. And he investigated them and took what he thought was the best from each. And he believed we had to live in communities or there was no charity. But small communities are more difficult. You know, in larger communities, it's easier to avoid people who irritate us. It's easier to simply avoid our problems, so to speak. And in small communities, we're faced with helping each other. We have more opportunities to help each other, I think. And then we also, when we get hurt, we have to deal with Jesus' teaching about forgiveness.
Hmm.
which he says is a non-negotiable teaching. He says, if you don't forgive each other, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Mm. It's non-negotiable. And it's we get to practice it in small communities.
Especially. And you really see that life and blessing in the small communities in your own parishes. Yeah, that's a beautiful sign for us. And I think it comes back around to a point of the Young Adult Conference in Theosis, that it's the growth in charity that really makes us more and more in the likeness of God, who is love.
Beautiful.
Well, Bishop Kurt, thank you so much for taking the time, for sharing a little bit of your view as the bishop of the Ruthenian Eparchy of Passaic, the good things that are happening in the midst of all the challenges that are in the church and in the world.
Well, you're welcome.
Wonderful to talk with you.
Is this going to be edited later, or is it start to finish?
Pretty much start to finish.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.